It's the first gospel, the last chapter, the last verses. Matthew 28, verse 16. I'll share what happened up in Twin Cities tonight. It was quite a interesting event. Not bad. They were actually good. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. So even in your worship, you can say, well, people can still waver, but keep worshiping Jesus, all right, no matter what. Verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. How cool is that? And then he goes on a little bit later, he goes, not in this gospel, but he goes, the authority I have, I give to you. So you have Jesus' authority. That's why I can just say, come on. And then on earth. Therefore, verse 19, go. Your whole job is to go. Go where? Just go. Go, go, go. Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Ask the Father. Just go. Because my going is going to look different than your going. And so we're not supposed to stay in a huddle and stay here and sing kumbaya all day long. We're supposed to go. Go pray for people. Be nice to people. Minister to people. Share the gospel with people. Go. Some people are evangelists. They're more natural sharing the gospel with people. Some people have words. Some people have faith. Some people have all these different, these gifts, the Holy Spirit gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and also the other gifts that are found in the Bible, they're for us to go, to use while we're out. Go. And so you ever work out by not going to work out? No, you don't. You go and you work out. I go for a walk. I go and exercise. It's a going. It's a doing. It's a process. Well, I don't know how to be evangelist. Go and try. Well, if I fail, who cares? Go. So a lot of times we'll make excuses for not doing something. I don't have the money. I'm not good looking enough. No one likes me. Oh, it's cold outside. Oh, it's raining. Oh, there's a lion outside. Oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. Oh, I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. I have too much experience. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll make excuses for not to go. But God tells us to go. And guess what? He'll tell us how to go here in a moment. He goes, go and make disciples. So how do I make a disciple? A disciple is not a 12-week program, okay? It's an ongoing thing. If you have kids, you're still discipling them. My mom, she still tells me things I don't know about when she was younger and stuff. There's still opportunity to share into people's lives. It's not 12, it's because Jesus did 12 disciples. He didn't have a 12-week program. It was 3.5 years. They walked with him continuously for 3.5 years. We have a different society today. But back then, the students would live with the rabbi. Can you imagine, Denise, having 12 extra people around the house? Because we went. And so the thing about it, go. And he had disciples. And so the thing about it is you teach them not just biblical things, you also teach them how to read and write, how to do all these other things. There's some people who will disciple people in finances. Other people will disciple people in this area or that area. And so we're always making a disciple of somebody, and somebody's always discipling us, teaching us, helping us grow. Aurora's learning her job, different aspects of it. She's being discipled how to be a quick trip worker. Because she went and put an application. They go, yeah, come work for us. She went. And now she makes money. And makes people laugh. I don't know. Sounds good. But he goes, make disciples of all nations. And the thing about it, it says all nations. That doesn't matter what nationality they are. Because these Jewish people, They were closed off to everybody else. They were like, uh-uh, we're not going to Samaria. We're not going there. Remember, they didn't like anybody outside the Jewish culture. Part of it because of the way they were raised. Part of it because of what has happened in the past. And God said, Jesus said, it doesn't matter. Just go. And of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. So these new disciples, the ones you just have in your life, teach them these things. So what Jesus said, what I have taught you, you teach them. What I learned, somebody else already had to learn it. Think about that. Everything we've learned, somebody else already had to learn it. Unless you have a creative idea. Then God dropped that in your head and God taught you it. I didn't know how to spell until someone taught me how to spell. I didn't know how to read until someone, and somebody had to teach them how to read. And so we teach what we have. And then he goes, I have given you. Okay. Then he goes, and be sure of this. I love this part. I'm always with you. Go. Know that I'm always going to be with you. Until when? Until you get bored, Jesus? No. I'll always be with you, always. Even to the end of the day. Even he'll be with you until when? Until you die. If you go, he's going to be with you. What if I lose my life? Well, he's going to be with you. See, a lot of times, what if I die? If I'm dead, I'm going to be in the presence of God. I think that over the presence of you guys. And nothing against you guys, but the presence of God, but the Father, man, that has to be something awesome. And so the thing about it, when we go, is there security? Yeah. Jesus said he'll be with us. Now, when we go, we have to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. So when Jared and I went up to the Twin Cities, because, you know, he's my bodyguard, my wife told me on Saturday, she goes, be safe. I looked at her and I go, I can't guarantee safety. But I guarantee you I'll be wise. And part of the wisdom was getting out of the Twin Cities before it got dark. Because of the area we were in.
I'll have some pictures and some videos here in a few minutes.
But when we arrived, to be honest with you, I didn't know what it's going to be like. I didn't know people would be fighting, if there was a big old group or whatever. I didn't know. I just knew, and I don't have a heart for the Twin Cities. I don't have a heart for Minneapolis. To be honest with you, I don't care about them. I care about souls, but I care about people who care about that. And so when Dr. Charles reached out and said, hey, will you come along and participate with us? I'm like, sure, why not? Even though I don't have I have a heart to see him win Minneapolis. And he has a heart for Minneapolis. And so I want to support him as much as I can to reach the people I don't have a heart for. And that's part of going. Part of going is helping others to go. And sometimes we're like, well, I don't have a heart. Well, God tells you to. See, the thing about it, I didn't pray. I did pray, but now he had some people come up and pray. But the thing about it, I wasn't, because that wasn't my city. That wasn't my heart. My heart's here. My heart's Dodge Center. My heart's Dodge County. We have enough problems. I don't need to go up to Twin Cities and find more. We have enough issues, spiritual issues, in Dodge Center itself. Then Dodge County. need to go take on other battles. That's not my battle. But I went there to support those who are battling. So we went. We go. And so when we arrived, isn't the neighborhood that is not the prettiest? You know, to be honest, my heart broke because of how much poverty was in that community. And how people mistrust people in that community. Because of all the hurts and all the pains and all the distrust from generation to generation to generations. Where both sides of the aisle, doesn't matter politically where you stand, both of them have used the inner city areas for their gain. And people are hurting. People are just hurting. And the thing about it, when they're hurt, they don't know what to do besides lash out. When they don't know Jesus, they're going to lash out hurting. That's the reason why with protesters, you'll hear them use foul language. Because that's what's inside them. They're hurting. And the only way they can become healed is through Jesus. And the only way they'll hear about Jesus is if people go. And the thing about it, it broke my heart, is that we only had 60 people show up. I mean, I'm glad 60 people showed up.
How many?
60. But I'm not sure how many people he asked either. I mean, there was people from young kids all the way up to older people. But it was broke my heart because there's people who don't have anything. Here in Dodge Center, in Dodge County, we don't really see it on the mass scale as you see it there. And my heart just broke for them. It's like, Lord, move in them. Touch them. Bring people in who has a heart for them. And so when we left, and as we walked through it, I'm just like, Lord, the only healing that's going to happen, because we were gathering around, you'll see this pickup truck here in a few minutes. We were gathering around by a pickup truck that led us through some of the city's streets. And we were able to pray and worship and things like that over that area of Minneapolis. But on the other side where they had this memorial set up, and it's still there, it's quite large. There were some of these New Agers there banging their drums, hoping they could do something. Calling, and it was this rhythmic beating of the drums. And some people were doing some stuff on the ground. I have no clue what they were doing. It was just, I felt like I was in a third world country to see that take place in America. I'm like, Lord, they're crying out to a false God. Help them. Be with them. Because they're hurting. Just like us. We're hurting. Even though we were not directly impacted by what took place right there. But we're still impacted by it. And God says, pray for healing. And so, Jaron, do you see those videos? Just go ahead, and it should go from photo to photo up all by itself. Besides the last video, we'll hold off on that one. You'll see it. Okay. That here's the truck that led the way.